Okay, Genesis chapter 26, and we'll continue there. Last week we talked about Isaac and Rebekah and the famine in the land, so they decided to move, moved as far as Gerar near the Philistines. God says, don't go any farther. Do not go to Egypt. Stay here. And Isaac and Rebekah did that. We see Isaac's, basically, it's a lack of faith on Isaac's part. Comes into that area, realizes that Rebekah is a beautiful woman, and much like his father, feared that his life was in danger if he said that she was his wife, that someone might kill him to get her. So he says, she's my sister, just like Abraham did. As a matter of fact, Abraham did it twice. Once was with Abimelech, and this is with Abimelech, and we talked about that, probably not the same ruler. Maybe it was a common name. Maybe it was actually had something to do with their title. But the years had passed, probably not the same one, but the same situation happened. And again, the king Abimelech caught them, said, obviously this is your wife, not your sister. They had to come clean. And Abimelech says, you shouldn't have done this to us. Why did you do this? As Isaac's there, God blesses him. Eventually, remember we talked about that, Abimelech says, move away. So Isaac moved to the valley near there, dug a well. There was a problem with the herdsmen in the area. That's about where we stopped. We'll start with verse 17. We talked a little bit about this. And Isaac departed thence the city and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. So he moved away, not a long ways away, because it was in the valley near the town, near that area. And he digged again the wells of water, which had been digged by in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father called them. So he came to those areas, redug some of those wells in those areas, used the same name for those wells that Abraham did, maybe in attempt to say, see, these were the wells that my father dug, and we have some kind of right to that. Verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there was a well of springing water, an artesian well, where the water bubbles up. Verse 20, and the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek. Esek means quarrel or contention, because they strove with him. So he moved out of the city because Abimelech the king said, I need to have you move out of here. You're getting too big for us. God is blessing you, and you need to move out of this area. Basically, we're afraid that you might take over. So Isaac moves out of the area, goes into the valley, digs a well. The herdsmen of the area aren't satisfied with that and says, look, now you're digging in our area. You dug up this well. It's ours. And that's basically what's happened. The herdsmen in the area want him farther away. They don't want, and again, remember, Isaac is a pauper? No, Isaac's quite wealthy at this time. Not only did he inherit Abraham's belongings, because when Abraham passed, he passed it down to Isaac, and Abraham was wealthy. Isaac is the same way. Not to mention verse 12, it says that he sowed. In other words, he started to plant, and God had given him a 100-fold increase. So he was prospering over and over and over again. Every step he went, God prospered Isaac. So they wanted him to move. So he called that, well, quarrel or contention. Verse 21, and they digged another well. So they moved a little bit farther away and dug another well, excuse me, and strove for that also. So the herdsman said, yeah, I know you moved a little bit, but that's still not far enough away. So the people in that area wanted to get him out of there. Again, if he's got herds and cattle and sheep and whatever it might be, what's one of the most important things you need for livestock? Water. So he digs a well, finds water, and they realize that, okay, he's got a well here, but with his herds, the way he's growing, sooner or later he's going to take over our lands as well. So the herdsmen say, nope, that's ours as well. Isaac names that one Sitna, which means strife or enmity. Excuse me. And he removed from thence, so he moved even farther away and digged another well. Seems like everywhere he goes, he digs a well. Why is that? Because well or water is necessary for his livestock. That's just something that they are forced to do as they go into a new area. So he removed and digged another well, and for all they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. This means wide place or spacious. Excuse me. For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be made fruitful in the land. So let's stop there for a minute. I kept wondering, why in the world would Isaac, who obviously is wealthy, obviously has all these servants and his entourage, whatever you want to call it, that travels with him, is not just a small group of people, but a lot. Why, when he dug a well, why didn't he just say, look, I dug the well, it's mine, you go someplace else? You ever wonder about that? I did. And then he dug another well, and they said, nope, we want that one too.
Was he a peacemaker?
Maybe. I don't know. And then I started to think, go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering, maybe it's because he was in their land.
Maybe.
Yeah. Them moving into his
right,
land.
Right. Maybe he didn't want to push the issue. I wondered, though, what had happened shortly before this? Isaac got caught what? He got caught in a lie, right? How do you feel after you get caught doing something wrong?
Ashamed.
Ashamed? I wonder if Isaac felt that way. I'm sure the news of what had gone on was not just between Isaac and Rebecca and the king. You know that gets out, right? I wonder if he felt ashamed of the situation he had been in and didn't want to push the issue. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. I don't know. But I wonder. I know when you get caught, you feel ashamed of what you've done and you kind of don't want to, you know. Maybe he didn't want the conflict. He didn't want that to be brought up. I don't know. But we know that God eventually led him to a place where he could dig a well and there was no strife. It's interesting that Isaac returns to, even after this situation, he realizes that God was still watching over him. Because what did he say when he digged the well? He didn't say, whew, finally I got rid of those idiots that keep chasing me around, taking the water that I put all the work in, digging the wells. Well, he didn't do it, but his servants did. Okay, I understand that. You know, it wasn't, well, finally I got out of their hair and they're leaving me alone now. What did he say? He said, the Lord has finally provided for me a place for me to stay. Go ahead, Stan.
Could have been his humbleness or his thinking was because of the strife that was being caused.
Could be, yep.
Because in the Jewish line, or for sure in the Proverbs, it says to put that to rest.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. And I'm not saying that's exactly what it was. It was just an interesting thought that I had. Why wouldn't he make a stand there? So it's interesting. After all this, excuse me, After all this, verse 23 says what? And he went up there to Beersheba. So after all went on, and we don't know what the time frame was. Maybe he was there for quite a while and finally decided to go back to Beersheba. That's what it says. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. We've heard about this place quite a bit, haven't we? Can you remember anything else that's gone on at Beersheba? Okay, here we go. Beersheba happened to be the place that God spoke to Hagar, remember? Abraham and Sarah said, Hagar, take a hike, and that's where God spoke to Hagar. That's also the place that Abraham planted a grove and made an altar and called upon the name of the Lord, that same area, Beersheba. That's also where Abraham was at when he made the covenant with Abimelech, the first Abimelech, when he came and said, I want to make a peace treaty with you. It was at that place, same place. Chapter 22, just a couple chapters back, verse 19, says that Abraham dwelt at Beersheba, this same place. So basically, he's going where? Basically going back to home, or at least the home area. excuse me. It's also the area near where, after Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, that they came down from Mount Moriah and were down in this area, Beersheba. Again, it doesn't tell us why he went there. Maybe, here's a possibility, maybe after all that had taken place in this foreign land, as he went home, he wanted to go back to a place where he felt a connection with God. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. There's another possibility to consider why he went, decided to go back home or back to this area. Interesting, and the reason I say maybe he felt a connection there with God is what happened as soon as he got there. The next verse. And the Lord appeared to him the same night. So he makes this trip back to the home area, back to this place that he was familiar with, back to this place that he had a connection with. And as soon as he arrives there, God appears to him. And after this entire situation that he's been through, God says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am this with thee, excuse me, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So that first night that he gets home or gets back to this area, God appears to him and tells him what? Basically, he reaffirms the same thing that he had reaffirmed earlier, the same thing that he had told Abraham a couple times before, this same promise that I will bless you, I will multiply you. Interesting here, Abimelech noticed, farther back in this chapter, Abimelech said, I know the Lord's blessing you. Isaac had admitted that the Lord had blessed him, and then God tells him, I am the one that's going to multiply you, that's going to make your seed. It's not your situation or wherever else it is. I am the one that's going to do that for you. So verse 25, and he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. So he's moved back up to this area. God has appeared to him, reaffirmed these promises to him. And what does he do? He builds an altar, and calls upon the name of the Lord. That's what we would call worship. So he stops, makes an altar there, and worships God for whatever it is, for the promises that he's made, for how he's provided for him up to this point. We don't know. But we know that he took the time to build an altar and call upon the name of the Lord, much like his father did many times, and worship God, and obviously planned on staying in that area because his servants are doing what again? Digging there. He must have had professional well diggers by this point. All the wells, what?
Backhoe.
Backhoe, yeah. All the wells they've dug. So the next thing that we see taking place here is verse 26. Seems like a repeat of before. Excuse me. And then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Huzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. So basically a delegation from the Philistines and Gerar, where he was at, came to visit Isaac in Beersheba. You see, it's Abimelech. Did you notice another name in there that we've heard before? That name Phicol, that was the same guy, well, wait a minute, the same name that we heard before with the old Abimelech. Now, again, chances are that this has been a lot of years between the two, maybe as much as 100 years. So chances are they're not the same individuals. Again, either it's a common name or it's got to do with a title of some sort. because, again, he's the chief captain of the army. So anyhow, so this delegation comes, of the Philistines, comes to see Isaac. And verse 27, and Isaac said to them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away? Whoa, how's that for a greeting? In other words, what in the world are you doing here? You kicked me out and you hate me. Why are you coming here to talk to me now? Why would he say they hate him? Well, first off, why would he say they kicked him out? Because kind of they did, right? First, the king said, you need to leave because you've overgrown, you know, what we can handle here, and we're afraid of you, so we'd like you to move out of town. And then the herdsmen or the people of the area pushed him farther away. So, yeah, you can see where Isaac came up with that. You sent me away and you hate me. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Interesting here, again, the Philistine king, and the Philistines, they were a godly nation, right?
No,
exactly the opposite. Yet the king and maybe other people in the country, well, obviously they did because the herdsmen wanted them farther away, but at least the king and probably many others understood that God was with Isaac and God blessed Isaac and God had looked out for and provided for Isaac and even made his plants grow 100-fold when nobody else was seeing that kind of prosperity. So they understood, excuse me, that God had provided for him. Interesting that a pagan king recognized that fact, that God was providing for Isaac.
John?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do they recognize that we have something different?
Right, a different, yeah.
They do? Yeah.
Yeah, a difference in us. I can't help but wonder, maybe he didn't, I don't know. Remember we talked about Abraham months ago, Abraham when he went to Egypt, and the fact that he lied and they caught him in the lie and said you have to leave. And then with Abimelech, he did the same thing, and now Isaac's done the same thing. Even the ungodly king and other individuals in that nation understood that God was with Isaac. How much better would have been the testimony that he left with those people had he gone there, trusted God to provide and protect him and Rebekah. Instead, he got caught in a lie and had to move away. God still provided for him. God still blessed him because of his covenant with Abraham. Yet, really, his testimony was somewhat ruined, right, for those individuals. Had he gone there and trusted God and relied upon God for his safety, Maybe he would have had a testimony with those individuals. Yet, even though God had shown them that he was providing for them, he had kind of lost his testimony, which again is another lesson for us to be careful with our testimony, because others see things that go on. And you're right, they may see things different than us, but they may see, well, yeah, now you're different, but you're no different because I remember when you did such and such. So anyhow, so he says, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do to us or do us no harm, as we have not touched thee. So basically the reason they're coming is, let's put it in layman's terms, we're afraid that you've grown so big that you're at some point going to decide to overrun us. So if we make a peace treaty with you, then we're safe. And after all, I might ask, the king says, I might ask you to leave, but I didn't, you know, we didn't touch you. I remember, I made a decree, nobody touches you and Rebekah. So, you know, he's calling upon, you know, I didn't touch you, so I'm hoping you don't touch me. Excuse me, in verse 29, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Now, remember Isaac before said you hated me and sent me away? Really, the king, when he sent him away, it was in peace, right? He wasn't mad. He wasn't angry. After everything that had taken place, the king just said, we would like to have you move out of this area because you've grown too big. It wasn't in battle that he moved, but it was in peace that the king sent him away. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Again, he brings up, God has blessed you. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. So Isaac's a good host. He makes a feast. They eat and drink. And the next morning, verse 31, and they rose up betimes or early in the morning and swear to one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him excuse me, in peace. So the next morning, they get up, they swear this oath to one another. Okay, we'll make a peace treaty. We don't invade you. You don't invade us. We live together in peace here. They make this treaty. And he sent them away. Verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants come and told him concerning the well that they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. So, you know, we see the first verses where it says they digged a well, and we think, okay, boom, 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 they found water, and they got a well. Obviously, it was later after the men had come, so this might have been a few days later. We don't know how much later, but eventually they found water again. And again, they need water for survival. So his servants come to him and say, we found water. And he called it Sheba. Sheba is an oath or seven. And you wonder, what's the seven about? Well, remember way back with Abraham and the seven sheep that he offered back then when he made the oath with Abimelech, and he called it Beersheba, which means oath or seven back then. Isaac calls it the same thing. So it means, Beersheba means well of oath or the well of seven. I guess we got a couple minutes here. We'll talk about this. And then we got a little two verses here, just kind of change the subject altogether. We see Esau. It says, Esau was 40 years old when he took to a wife, Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Interesting here that we find these two verses. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here. Hopefully it's not too long. Here we see a demonstration of Esau's character in these last two verses. Knowing well how cautious God had been in selecting a wife for his own father, a selection which carefully guarded the integrity of the line of the promised seed. So Esau, obviously knew, I mean, this story was not unknown to everybody. Esau knew the story of how Dad and Mom met, okay? And the process that took place there, and how Grandpa sent somebody to find a wife for Dad, and the reasons for that. Even though he knew of that and the reasons for it, Esau nevertheless proceeded to take a Hittite woman for his wife, no doubt also knowing that God's will for a marriage relationship was monogamy, one wife. He compounded the insult to God and took another Hittite woman for a second wife. He was both presumptuous and utterly unconcerned about God's promised blessing associated with the patriarchal line. Right? He knew God's standing, and yet he married not one, but two wives from a pagan nation, obviously not caring about God's standards or what God desired, or even preserving that line. Let me go on. Esau was 40 years old, right? It says he was 40 years old when he married these women. So it was hardly a matter of youthful indiscretion. So it wasn't like he was young and infatuated, and, you know, whatever. It was hardly an issue of that. He was 40 years old, a grown man. What?
Isaac was 40 when Rebecca.
Yeah, yep. It's interesting that they were the same age. So, it was a deliberate choice and certainly made against the counsel of his parents. How do we know that? Because they were a grief of mind. I'm sure his parents didn't desire that he married a pagan woman, much less two of them. As well as against God's will. As he well knew, these wives were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. We see that in the next verse. Probably not only because they were daughters of Canaan and because Abraham had so carefully avoided taking one of the daughters of Canaanites as wife for Esau's father, Isaac, but probably also because they were idolaters and ungodly in lifestyle. There's no stretch of imagination to come up with that conclusion, is there? They were raised in a pagan nation. Here's another thing. They no doubt still further alienated Esau from concerns for God's promises, purposes, as well as his standards and holiness. In other words, he married these two pagan women, and more than likely they were dragging down his moral standard as well. Interesting that we see this little snippet, this little view into Esau's character, and it's especially interesting that this comes right before chapter 27. And we'll talk about chapter 27 next week. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.